Hi, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 479. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. We have some music. I've got a great message for you today. I've got Bible reading for you. And I've got some songs for you as well. But right now, and we've got letters. But right now, let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint this message and this program, Father. Lord, that souls will be saved and that the church will come back to you, and that the church will remember the pit that they've been dug out of, and that the church will become zealous, and that the church will take up the cross and follow you, and that the church will deny themselves and follow you. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, here's my good buddy, Johnny Cash. I recorded my album with the Stamps Quartet, one of my albums with the Stamps, at his recording studio at Hendersonville. And this song is to all the public, unsaved public, and to those that are Christians that think they're getting by with sinning. And it's called "God Is Going to Cut You Down" by Johnny Cash.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sweet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
All right, God's going to cut people down. You know, God's purpose, as I mentioned the other day, was for man to rule, mankind to rule the world. But first, God wants people to begin ruling themselves, or asking God in Christ Jesus to come into them and to be able to control their life. Give us the power to control our lives first before we have to control ourselves before we can control the world. Amen?
Amen.
So, is mankind worthy of this? Absolutely not. Not until we become sons of God. And if we become a son of God, then we're no longer sinners. We are converted into new creatures. And so therefore, we shouldn't say that we're just sinners. We're not. We're sons of God. And we've been saved by the power of God. Grace means power. But since God's purpose is for man to rule, man will surely rule. Does make any difference what people think? And we're not talking about the rulership of some ungodly government, because God's purpose is always fulfilled. He wants us to rule the world according to His will. And therefore, if we're ruled by God's will ourselves, then it's possible. All things are possible in the name of Jesus. So in the book of Psalms, the psalmist states, O Jehovah, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, unquote. He continues to praise as though he were not even aware of man's fall. Why? Because he knew that he was with the Lord. Though Adam had sinned, and Eve had also sinned, of course, she sinned first, they could never withstand God's plan. So they all sinned. The whole world had gone astray. But God's plan is that man rules, and so therefore, there's a certain amount of mankind that's going to rule. There's all kinds of men and women that can fall. Man can sin, all right, and he can fall, but man cannot overthrow the will of God. It's impossible for Satan to do that or mankind. Even after men fail, God's will toward man remains the same. God still requires man to overthrow the power of Satan. And we do know about the international government. Oh, what an unchangeable God we have. His will is unswervingly true. And he is utterly straightforward. We must realize that God can never be overthrown or overpowered. In this world, there are some who receive many hard blows, but no one has been attacked daily and received continual blasts like God, yet his will has never been overthrown. Look at how the kingdom of heaven is growing on the face of this earth. You can feel it. What God has been before man's fall, he is the same after man's fall. And after sin entered into the world, the decision he affirmed aforetime is still his decision today for man to rule the world. God has never changed. Expression, in quote, in all the earth, unquote, is the same as Genesis 1:26. If we know God's plan, every time we read the word, quote, man, unquote, or the word, quote, earth, unquote, our hearts should leap within us. verse 2 contains, quote, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, you have established your will, O God. So we have some letters today. Where's the first one from?
From Carson, California.
Carson, California. Okay, let's see what they have to say.
Dear Sir, Madam, 10:31:07, while parked to attend to my business, in returning to my car, I saw Tony Alamo's world newsletter attached to my car's windshield wiper. I took it home and read from page 1 to the last page. Enlightening, edifying. May I ask you to send me Pastor Alamo's book, The Messiah, showing Christ from the Old Testament revealed in over 333 prophecies, free of charge. I am very fond of reading the Bible passages, but Tony Alamo seems to have the best interpretation biblically.
Yeah, see, my interpretation is the Lord's interpretation. That's why it's the best. There's no private interpretation of the Bible. It just means what it says. And anyone, I hear so many bad people trying to change the interpretation of the Bible. They don't try, they actually do it, but it's not the truth. And the truth, the actual way that the Lord is talking to people, is the way only interpretation has the virtue to save your soul. So it's just everyone wants to change the Word of God, but God is unchangeable. And he's going to have people that are going to rule the world with the true word of God. There's no one that can rule with the wrong word of God, with the twisting of it, because God will overthrow them. Don't you think?
Amen.
I not only think, I know it. All right, so do we have another letter?
The rest of that one was, thank you, God bless you, sincerely, H.M. DeCastro from Carson, California.
All right, Mr. DeCastro, Brother DeCastro, praise the Lord. Okay, go ahead. What is another one?
From Malawi, Africa.
All right.
Dear Pastor Alamo, a lot of people in my area like your literature, but the problem is that some people don't understand English since they speak only the Tambuka language. I translated some of your literature into Tambuka, and people liked them, but it was too expensive for me to afford translating, printing, and duplicating them. If I had a typing machine, it would be much easier, because I can type the newsletters, and then I can pay money for photocopying. I am saying this because my aim is to win millions of souls by giving them your message in the literature that you sent me to distribute. I, together with my friends who are helping me in distributing your newsletters, discussed how it would be if you can open a branch of your Christian ministry here in Malawi.
Right. You could do that. If you believe the Word of God, and if you believe that, I leave many footnotes in my literature to where you can see that what I'm saying is the truth. And you could just take that same literature and distribute it on the streets. And if you have to, get a gathering together in your house and take collections and then get a storefront. And any questions that you have about the Bible, you can call me and I'll be glad to tell you what the meaning of it is, if there's any thing that comes up that confuses you at all, okay? And that we will be glad to back you up with all the literature and Bibles and everything. Okay, so what else?
We are ready and eager to do any job that will need to be done. Pastor Alamo, your deeds are so wonderful. Indeed, you are winning millions of souls. I was very interested in the letter you sent me, especially about John chapter 15, verse 2, that says, quote, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit, unquote. This chapter tells me that I must put all my mind and doings into serving the Almighty God. Thank you, sir, for your good and wonderful direction in the Lord. Yours in the Lord. Love more from Rumphi, Malawi, Africa.
Praise the Lord. To understand this establishment of the covenant. The Lord has written us the instructions of what to do in the book, the New Testament. And it's a covenant, a promise, that if we don't know how to preach like Peter or to pray like Paul, we can certainly take the give our testimonies, and you can take the literature and distribute it throughout the your town, and you can take all these many CDs and audio tapes that I've done, and on this series alone I've done over 400, this is the 479th one. So that will keep you busy for a while. You can play those in your services, and people will get saved, and they'll praise the Lord, and you'll read the Bible and just read Bible passages to each other, and if there's something about the passage that you don't understand, call. I'm available. Most of the time I'm available. So to understand the establishment of the covenant with the blood, we must return to the truth. And Jesus said, He is the truth. So He is the entire Bible, the Word of God. He's the entire Bible. So we need to know the truth about the Garden of Eden and everything in the Bible, and the requirement of why we have to have the law at all times. We know that when Adam was cast out of Eden, Adam and Eve, he lost the position of not only fellowship with God, he lost eternal life. And he also lost his inheritance. He had the world. He was to rule everything for God in the world. So from Adam to Moses, death reigned in this world. The Bible states in Romans 5:14, from Moses to Christ, not only did death reign, but sin reigned as well. Romans 5:21. This doesn't mean that from Adam until Moses there was no sin, because the Word of God, which is Jesus, the Bible, tells us that until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not reckoned to be sin when there is no law. This is why in those days people were able to marry into their own families, because there was no law to say this is against the law. Then when the law came, well, this is in Romans 5:13. When there is no law, there is no condemnation. God gave Moses the covenant of the law. So, from Adam to Moses, there was no law. Okay, just the regular law. People knew different things that God naturally put in them. But the law came with Moses, and power and truth came with Jesus Christ. So God gave Moses the covenant of the law, the first covenant on Mount Sinai. This covenant was conditional, just as the new covenant is conditional. And that condition is, I love you, Jesus said, if you keep all my commandments. So I love you if you keep all my commandments. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. But what if I don't? What if I don't keep all your commandments? Then I don't love you. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what he's saying. Amen? Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't sound loving. Well, the Lord doesn't want a lawless society. He doesn't want people to break the law, break the commandments. if you keep all my commandments. That's a conditional. I mean, all the things that the Lord says, we have eternal life. If it's conditional, if we keep all the commandments. But what about if we break them, and we first start keeping them, and then we decided to break the law? What happens then? Well, he said, I'll blot your name out of the book of life. Amen.
Amen.
I'll blot your name out of the book of life. So that's it's a conditional. If we want to stay in the book of life, then we have to keep his commandments. Because if you love me, keep my commandments. You will keep my commandments. I love you if you keep my commandments. So everything is conditional with the Lord. So don't listen to those false prophets that say God just loves you unconditionally. He will love you unconditionally if you get saved, but only if you keep his commandments. But then after, if you break commandments or covenant with him, there's another condition there. You must keep the covenant with him, the promise with him. If we humans abide by the words of this contract or covenant or deal, the words of this covenant, God would bless him. If man would not abide by the words of his covenant, God's covenant, Christ's covenant, his contract, man would be cursed. Now that's Galatians 3:12-10. Go ahead.
And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them.
Mm-hmm. Then what?
And then verse 10. Mm-hmm. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.
Oh, you say, well, that's the Old Testament. No, she's reading from the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Some people say the Old Testament is done away with. No, it's not. The Lord said that it's not. And we who believe the Lord are the ones that will be saved and in heaven. The Lord says that I am your friend if you do everything I say. Amen?
Amen.
But I am not your friend if you don't do everything that I say. What then did the law do for man? The law brought man to know what sin is. Don't you know, want to know what sin is? Do you think you can just run crazy and know all the different brands of beer? And to, you know, all these people in New Orleans. The main street in New Orleans is named after a liquor called Bourbon Street. It's no wonder God flooded that place. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord doesn't want us to call streets after booze or sinfulness, because the Lord says that he wants his kingdom established in this world. And that is not being established when people are doing the things that they're doing. And you all know what you're doing, don't you? I certainly hope so. There are songs, you know, in the 60s, Let Your Mind Roll On. Just get on drugs and let your mind roll on. That isn't establishing the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And for everybody to be having sex without the virtue of being married. And for people to be listening to the international law, which is no law at all. It's not totally the opposite of God's law. The law brought man to know what sin is. But the international law shows everybody that they say that sin is all right. that there's no such thing as God. Well, they're fools, because the Bible says that a person that says there's no God is a fool. Amen?
Amen.
The knowledge, what sin is, the knowledge of sin, that's Romans 3:20. You got that? Romans 3:20, read it. You got it there?
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
Okay. So, how will you know what sin is if you don't know what the law of God is? And if the international quote law unquote tells you that you must listen to them, if you listen to them, you'll go to hell. Now, this international law is born and hatched out of the Vatican, because the Bible said that's where Satan sits. His seat is there in the city of the seven hills. And the seven hills are there in Rome, or the seven mountains. Besides this, man was guarded, kept in ward under the law. That's Galatians 3:23.
But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed.
This means that man was formerly, in other words, before this, he was under the condition of death, because death reigned, but now he was also under the power of sin. This is the Old Testament, because sin reigned and is still reigning in this world, unless you come to Jesus. Unless you come to Jesus, sin is reigning in you. That means that Satan is reigning in you as well. Therefore, before Christ came to the earth, in other words, God came to earth as a man, man suffered two major losses. The first loss he suffered because of Adam's sin. And the second he suffered because he could not keep God's law. He could not keep God's commandments because death and sin reigned. The law of sin and death reigned in him. Man was kept from God and could not be with God or enjoy God or to know God's presence. He became foolish. There was no power of the Holy Spirit in him to be able to keep the law. He was foolish, just like you see people are in the world today. And they could not know God. He lost his spiritual life and power to do the will of God. So in Adam, under the law, in other words, before we're saved is when we're in Adam. And we're under the law in Adam, because the law condemns us. What can a man boast of? He can only cry out, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? That's Romans 7:24. Is there then no way to solve the problem of sin and death? Read that, Romans 7:24.
O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
Well, he goes on to say, I thank God for Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Only Jesus can give you, can deliver you from the death and the powerlessness that the people have when they're dead. Their spirits are dead. But when you believe in Christ, then you can say, I thank Jesus for taking me from the sin and death. And reserved, I can die out to sin, Satan, and the flesh. There surely is by the Lord Jesus shedding his precious blood on the cross at Calvary. These two problems are solved, provided we continue. Now remember, this is a commandment, provided that we continue on in the Word, the Bible, which is the Lord. You can't be forgiven of all your sins and then go ahead and sin some more and think that the law isn't around anymore and won't condemn you again. But the Bible says that if you sin again after you've been saved, that there remains no more forgiveness, because the Lord died once for you, and it's for sure he's not going to come back and die again for you, and again and again. You must be born again, and then you must continue on. You can read in the Bible that from Adam to Moses, death reigned, and that from Moses to Christ, not only did death reign, but sin also reigned. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has solved these two major problems for us. And because of the fact that the Lord Jesus shed his precious blood, we have been washed from our old former sins. And the Lord puts a new spirit in us, and he then moves into that new spirit in us and gives us the power to be able to keep all of God's commandments. And we do not have to die any longer if we continue in the covenant, the promise. Well, our bodies will die, but our spirit goes to be with the Lord. If we're not in this body, then we'll be present with the Lord. If we're not saved, and we will not be with the Lord or in the body, but we'll be in hell screaming our heads off and grinding our teeth and gnawing on our tongues. God's original intentions was to impart his own life and everything that he is into us. He wants to do that, but because he wants us to reign. But because of the fact that our sins and the death resulting from sin, we were alienated from God. We were not able to, any longer to obtain all that is of God. We lost all that God had. He has everything. So we lost everything that God had given, and we also lost all that God had intended to give us. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all of our former sins, and all of those sins that we committed before that we do, and the ones that we do in ignorance afterwards, not cardinal sins, though. He has also restored our relationship with God. Now, we had a relationship with God through Adam in the beginning, and then mankind lost that relationship. And that's in Ephesians 2:13. So that all God has given and will give to us can become ours without any hindrance. No hindrance whatsoever. And he makes us sons of God, so don't be saying that you're a sinner saved by grace. We're now sons of God by the power of God. Grace means the power of God. Amen?
Amen.
So, therefore, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ not only brings us back or reconciles us to God, Galatians 1:20. Go ahead and read that. Galatians 1:20.
Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not.
So we're talking about the things that I'm telling you. We're not lying about them. We're coming right from the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
But also, it brings God himself into us and into, with Christ, the entire Godhead into us. Romans 8, 32.
He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
The blood of Jesus not only accomplishes redemption, in other words, salvation to us, it also accomplishes an eternal redemption forever. But there's a big if there. If we continue on in the covenant, the blood covenant, signed with the blood of Jesus, the blood of bulls and goats, which we have seen in the Old Testament, upon which the people of the Old Testament depended upon, only reminded them of sin every year. Hebrews 10, 3 through 4. But Christ, through his own blood, entered once and for all into the Holy of Holies, having found in it an eternal redemption for us. Hebrews 9:12. The blood of Christ purifies our conscience. Hebrews 9:14. So that we no longer have any conscience of sin, because we have the power to not sin any longer, and there's no evil conscience in us. But if you sin, then you're frightened all the time, because we don't know when we're going to die. It could happen any time. And so we no longer, but when we are saved, when we are washed in the blood and all the sins are gone away from us, that there's no longer, we don't any longer have any conscience of sin. We're able to approach the throne of the living God in prayer with boldness. That's Hebrews 10, verse 2. I praise and thank the Lord for that. Amen.
Amen.
The blood of Christ eternally and completely solves the problem of sin. That is, if we keep in, we stay in the new covenant. We don't break contract. We don't break the deal. We don't break the covenant with the Lord. He promises, and then we promise. If we do, the Bible plainly states that we'll be back under the law. The condemnation of the law, that is. The blood of Christ enables us to receive forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9:22, Matthew 26:28, Ephesians 1:7. Just to know this and realize this much is a most powerful and glorious revelation to us. Those who sense the shamefulness of sin and know how hateful sin is all realize this when they make the new covenant. Sin was so bad that God had to come into the world and die. And hell is so bad that God in Christ had to suffer and die to stop us from going to hell. And this shows the love of God to give us a second chance. Because the law told us that we must die if we sin, and that hasn't changed a bit. A person cannot be saved unless they realize that they're a man or woman, that God is God. We have to realize that God is really God and not us. And they cannot realize this unless they make the covenant with the Lord. Now we have some Bible reading. And where are you going to be reading from, Sharon?
Galatians chapter 1.
Okay, let's begin.
Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father.
So God the Father called the apostle Paul, very much in the way that he called me. It was a shocking thing. It was an embarrassing thing. I was unsaved, didn't want to know the Lord, didn't know him, didn't want to be a preacher, a teacher, a pastor, anything. And the Lord came. There was no good in me. And there still isn't any good in me unless I continue preaching this gospel. If I don't, I'll be a castaway, just like Paul said he would be if he stopped preaching. Okay, then what?
God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from
that
God.
That means power be to you and peace.
From God the Father.
Power to do what? To keep God's commandments, amen? Amen? To stay saved. We need to have the power of God in us to be able to stay in the covenant. Because if we break the covenant, then there remains no more forgiveness. Okay, go ahead.
Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father.
Now, what does that mean, to deliver us from this present evil world? That means from the power of sin and death, and then eventually when our body dies, that our spirit goes right into heaven. Then what?
To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
Right, this is what so many Christians have done today. They start believing, you know, when they first, they knew that there was no possible way for them to be delivered from sin and death except through Jesus. And then when they were, by faith, only faith, delivered from the power of sin and death. Read it again.
I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
Right, this is what so many Christians are doing today. They're self-willed. They can't be controlled by the Holy Spirit because they're so carnal. At first, they believed that they could be saved by faith in Jesus to receive the gospel and to be free from sin and death. And now they started living by their own brains instead of by faith. Now, go ahead.
Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel
right.
of Christ.
There's no other gospel. The Bible states that if anyone brings any other gospel to you other than that which we have preached unto you, the apostle said, let him be accursed. Amen?
Amen.
Then it repeats it. Okay, go ahead.
But though we or an angel from heaven...
Here it is right here.
Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Yes, yeah, so if you believe the Vatican that says you should pray to Mary and saints, you're accursed. All right?
Amen.
If you believe that it's okay to murder your children by what they call abortion, that's a very pretty name for first-degree murder, then you're accursed because the gospel teaches the exact opposite of that. If you believe that you can murder somebody and just get time in prison, instead of being put to death like the Bible says that you're supposed to be, well, then you're accursed. So you're believing another doctrine that it's all right to commit adultery and fornication and to train your children that it's all right to have sex in school, and that you're being kind to them by giving them birth control pills and other means to stop babies to be born, well then you think it's right to let the government say that they don't have to tell the mothers and dads that they're going to have an abortion. Well, then you're cursed, because you're supposed to be raising your child. And the people that are telling you these things, which is the international government, they are accursed. They're accursed, and God, that's why the Lord is pouring out his wrath on the earth. It's not Mother Nature. There's no such thing as that. I read many passages in the Bible that tell us that this is the Lord that's doing that. And there are many places in the Bible where he says, I'll pour out my wrath. He knew that, Noah knew that God was going to pour out his wrath on the earth, that he was going to destroy all human flesh in 120 years. And that's why he never got married or had children. So when he reached about 500 years old, the Lord told him to have children, and so he did. At 500 years old, Noah became a father. We don't know if he had triplets or what, or had a child once every year for 3 years, but he had those three boys. And we know that the Lord is so... We can't even control that. The Lord said that he had to get married even though the whole earth was going to be destroyed. And so he did it. But we know that the whole world is going to be destroyed by fire. And there's no need to abort or to murder children, innocent children, because there's plenty of land. They're telling people to do that based on that there's not, they say there's not enough land, which is the big lie that the international government is telling you. There's not enough food. That's another big lie, because they're paying billions of dollars for farmers not to grow food. And they say there's not enough water. Well, most of the world is made out of water. Amen?
Amen.
And they know how to make all the water drinkable. It's very easy. And so they're saying, well, don't have any more children, become homosexuals or lesbians. And you people have fallen for that. And if you do that, there's no other gospel. This is against the gospel. This is the exact opposite of the gospel. And a lot of people are angry at me because I preach the gospel. They think I should be ashamed of it. But the Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation. Now we see throughout the Bible, some of the most honorable people in the Bible were polygamists. And you've got people like this Jerry Falwell that puts polygamy, which is never, it never says no polygamy shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I am not married. Now, because I preach the truth, what they try to do, they slander me. And if I preach about that you can be a eunuch, I'm not a eunuch, okay? I'm not everything that I preach, all right?
Amen.
But I preach everything that's in the Bible, because I'm not ashamed of the Bible. I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, because belief in the Bible is the power of God unto salvation to those of us that believe. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe? Do you believe? No, you don't, because the international Antichrist government is absolutely against the things that God that says are lawful. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know the Bible, you just believe them, and that's not the gospel. So anyone that doesn't believe the gospel the way it's written, you're cursed. You are cursed by God. And that's why God is destroying the world. Little by little, piece by piece, more and more every day, and it's going to get worse. And you think you're safe because you live in the mountains of Montana, or in Wyoming someplace, or on the plains. God knows how to, destroy people. Amen? He can save you and he can destroy you, and he does that. Okay, go ahead.
As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
Well, of course, the devil is accursed, and that's the devil's word. What people are there telling them what to do today, and it's all bad, really bad. Then what?
For do I now persuade men or God?
Yeah. Am I trying to persuade you? I want to persuade God that I'm preaching the real gospel. Okay?
Amen.
I don't care if you don't believe me or not. I still get the same credit for telling you the truth as I would whether you believe it or not. Amen?
Amen.
You don't have to believe, as far as I'm concerned. But I'm telling you what you have to do to go to heaven and stay out of hell. Okay, then what?
Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
Right. And we're not only the servant of Christ, but we're also the sons of God, and we're Christ's body. Amen?
Amen.
So we don't dare tell you a lie. Then what?
But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right. The only thing that man ever taught me was a lie. But I'm preaching the gospel to you. God, I didn't receive this gospel from man. God called me supernaturally, and I'm preaching the truth to you. And my time is up, but I still have time to go over the prayer with you to where you can be united with Christ and have the power to keep the blood covenant with him. So the way you do that is to just repeat this prayer after me, and you will be saved. You'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. So say this prayer: My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I believe you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. I just praise and thank the Lord. And, you know, continue on in the Lord so that you are not a castaway. Now, Sharon, tell the folks in Radio Land how to receive a copy of this program, number 479. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're free. Postage and handling is free as well.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you very richly, and make sure you tune in tomorrow for another powerful message from the Lord regarding your eternal life. Now here's Marty Robbins to sing for you, and I'm happy that I could say that before Marty died, I prayed him through. I led him to the Lord. We prayed together. He received the Lord. And here he is to sing for you, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder.
When the roll is called up yonder, when the is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, time will be no more. Then the morning breaks, the eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.